stand by my side, you whom the gods have made preservers of my throne. Woe is my heart that the poor soldier who so richly fought, whose rags shamed gilded arms, whose naked breast stepped before targes of proof, cannot be found. He shall be happy who can find him, if our grace can make him so.
I never saw such noble fury in so poor a thing. Such precious deeds in one that promised naught but beggary and poor looks.
No tidings of him?
He hath been searched among the dead and living, but no trace of him.
To my grief, I am the heir of his reward, which I will add to you. The liver, heart, and brain of Britain, by whom I grant she lives. It is now the time to ask of whence you are. Report it.
Sir, in Cambria are we born, and gentlemen. So that to boast were neither true nor modest. Unless I add we are honest.
Bow your knees.
Arise, my knights of the battle. Create you companions to our person, and will fit you with estates becoming to your dignities.
As business in these faces, why so sadly greet you our victory? You look like Romans, not of the court of Britain.
Hail, great king. To sour your happiness, I must report the queen is dead.
Worse than a physician. This report become. I consider thy medicine life may be prolonged, yet death will seize the doctor. How ended she?
With horror, madly dying like her life, which being cruel to the world, concluded most cruel to herself. What she confessed, I will report, so please you. These her women can trip me if I err, who with wet cheeks were present when she finished.
Pretty, say.
First, she confessed she never loved you, only affected greatness got by you, not you. Married your royalty, was wife to your place, abhorred your person.
She alone knew this. When she spake it dying, I would not believe her lips in opening it. Proceed.
Your daughter, whom she bore in hand to love with such integrity, she did confess was as a scorpion to her sight, whose life, but that her flight prevented it, she had torn off by poison.
Oh, delicate fiend, who this can read a woman? Is there more?
More, sir, and worse. She did confess she had for you a mortal mineral, which being took should by the minute feed on life, and lingering by inches waste you. In which time she purposed by watching, weeping, tendance, kissing, to o'ercome you with her show, and in time, when she had fitted you with her craft, to work her son into the adoption of the crown.
Heard you all this, her women?
We did, so please your highness.
Mine eyes were not in fault, for she was beautiful. Mine ears had heard her flattery. Nor my heart had thought her lack of seeming. It had been vicious to have mistrusted her. Yet, O my daughter, that it was folly in me, thou mayst say. Prove it in my feeling. Heaven, my Lord.
Not Caius now for tribute.
Consider, sir, the chance of war. The day was yours by accident. Had it gone with us, we should not, when the blood was cool, have deafened our prisoners with the sword. But since the gods will have it thus, that nothing but our lives may be called ransom, let it come. Sufficeth a Roman with a Roman's heart can suffer. Augustus lives to think on't. And so much for my peculiar care. This one thing only I will entreat. My boy, a Briton born, let him be ransomed. Never master had a page so kind, so duteous, diligent, so tender over his occasions, true, so feat, so nurse-like. Let his virtue join with my request, which I'll make bold your highness cannot deny. He hath done no Briton harm, though he hath served a Roman. Save him, sir, and spare no blood beside.
Surely I've seen him. His favor's familiar to me. Boy, thou hast looked thyself into my grace. Not mine own. I know not why, wherefore, to say, live, boy. May I thank thy master. Live. And ask of Cymbeline what boon thou wilt. Fitting my bounty and thy state, I'll give it. Yea, though thou do demand a prisoner, the noblest tame.
I humbly thank your highness.
I do not bid thee beg my life, good lad, and yet I know thou wilt.
No, no, alack. There's other work in hand. I see a thing bitter as death. Your life, good master, must shuffle for itself.
The boy disdains me, he leaves me, he scorns me. Briefly die their joys, then place them on the truth of girls and boys.
What wouldst thou, boy? Speak. Knowst thou him thou look'st on? Is he thy kin, thy friend?
He is a Roman. No more kin to me than I to your highness, who, being born your vassal, I'm something nearer.
Wherefore ask him, sir?
I'll tell you, sir, in private, if it please you give me hearing.
With all my heart, and then my best attention. What's thy name?
Fidele, sir.
Not my good youth, my page. I'll be thy master. Oh, could we speak freely?
Is not this boy revived from death?
Oh, stand another not more resembles that sweet rosy lad who died and was Fidele. What think you?
The same dead thing alive.
Peace, peace, see further. He eyes us not, forbear.
It is my mistress. Since she is living, let the time run on. To good or bad.
Stand thou by our side. Make thy demand aloud. Sir, step you forward. Give answer to this boy, and do it freely, or by our greatness and the grace of it, which is our honor, bitter torture shall winnow the truth from falsehood. On, Peter.
My boon is that this gentleman should render of whom ye had this ring.
What's that to him?
That's diamonds upon your finger, say. How came it yours?
Oh, that tortured me to leave unspoken that which to be spoke would torture thee.
Help me.
I'm glad to be constrained to utter that which torments me to conceal. By villainy I got this ring. It was Leonatus' jewel whom thou didst banish. And which more may grieve thee as it doth me. A nobler sir may live to sky and ground. Would I hear more, my lord?
All that belongs to this.
Paragon, my daughter. For whom my heart drops blood and my false spirits quail to remember. Give me this right finger.
Daughter? What of her? Renew thy strength. I'd rather thou shouldst live while nature will than die ere I hear more. Strive, man, and speak.
Unhappy was the clock that struck the hour. It was in Rome. Accursed the mansion where... It was at a feast. But our viands have been poisoned, or at least those which I heaped ahead. The good Posthumus.
What should I say? He was too good to be where ill men were. And was the best of all. Amongst the rarest of good ones.
Sitting sadly, hearing us praise our loves of Italy for beauty that made barrenness well boast of him that best could speak. For feature naming the shrine of Venus, or straight pipe Minerva, postures beyond brief nature. For condition, a shop of all the qualities that man loves woman for, besides that hook of wiving. Fairness which strikes the eye.
Stand on fire, come to the matter.
Too soon, Michelle. Unless thou wouldst grieve quickly, this posthumous. Most like a noble lord in love, and one that had a royal lover took his hint, and not dispraising whom we praise therein, he was as calm as virtue. He began his mistress' picture, which by his tongue being made and then a mind put in, either our brags or cracks of kitchen trowels or his description proved us unspeaking joy.
Nay, to the purpose.
your daughter's chastity. You speak of her as Diane had hot dreams, and she alone were cold. Whereat that wretch made scruple of his praise and wagered with him pieces of gold against this, which he then wore upon his honored finger to attain his suit the place of bed and win this ring by hers and mine adultery. He, true knight, no lesser of her honor confident than I did truly find her, speaks this ring, and would so have it been a carbuncle of Phoebus' wheel, and might so safely had it been all the worth of his car. Our wager but impost I in this design. Well, may you, sir, remember me at court, where I was taught of your chaste daughter the wide difference twixt amorous and villainous. Being thus quenched in hope, not longing, mine Italian brain gan in your duller Britain operate. My practice so prevailed that I returned with similar proof enough to make the noble Leonatus mad by wounding his belief in her renown with tokens thus, alluring notes of chamber hanging pictures this her bracelet. I got it. Nay, some marks of secret on her person that he could not but think her bond of chastity going cracked. Having taken the forfeit. Whereupon, methinks I see him now.
Aye, so thou dost, Italian fiend. Aye, me, most credulous fool, egregious murderer, thief, anything that's due to all the villains past in being to come. Oh, give me cord or knife or poison, some upright justicer. Thou, king, send out for torturers ingenious. It is I that all the abhorred things of the earth amend by being worse than they. I am Posthumus that killed thy daughter. Then alike I lie that caused a lesser villain than myself, a sacrilegious thief, to do it. The temple of virtue, was she? Yea, and she herself. Spit and throw stones, cast mire upon me, set the torturous tree to pay me. Every villain be called Posthumus Leonatus, and be villainy less than twas. O Imogen, my queen, my life, my wife. Oh, Imogen.
Oh, please, my lord. Here.
Just have a play of this. Thou scornful page, fair line, I come, gentlemen, help! Mine and your mistress, oh, my lord, was Posthumus. You never killed Imogen till now. Help, help! My honored lady.
Welcome round.
How comes these staggers on me?
Wake, my mistress.
This be so. The gods do mean to strike me to death with mortal joy.
Affairs, my mistress.
Look at me from my side. Thou gives me poison. Dangerous fellow, hence. Freeze not where princes are.
The tune of Imogen. May the gods throw stones of sulfur on me. If that box I gave you was not thought by me a precious thing, I had it from the...
It poisoned me.
Oh, gods, I left out one thing which the queen confessed, which must have proved to be honest. If Bassanio have, said she, given his mistress that confection which I gave him for cordial, she is served as I would serve a rat. Have you tale of it?
It's like I did, for I was dead.
My boys, there was our error. This is sure fidelity.
Why did you throw your wedded lady from you? Think that you are upon a rock. And now throw me again.
And there like fruit my soul, till the tree die.
Oh, my flesh, my child. What makes thou me duller in this act? Wilt thou not speak to me?
Your blessing, sir.
My tears that fall prove holy water on thee. Imogen, thy mother's dead.
I'm sorry for her.
No, she was not. Long of her it is that we meet here so strangely. But her son is gone. We know not how nor where.
My lord, now fear is from me, I'll speak truth. Lord Clotten, upon my lady's missing, came to me with his sword drawn, foamed at the mouth, and swore, if I discovered not which way she was gone, it was my instant death. By accident, I had a feigned letter of my master's then in my pocket, which directed him to seek her on the mountains near to Milford, where, in a frenzy, in my master's garments, which he enforced from me, away he posts, with unchaste purpose and with oath to violate my lady's honor. What became of him, I further know not.
Let me end the story. I slew him there.
Marry gods of heaven. I would not thy good deed should from my lips pluck a hard sentence. Prithee, valiant youth, deny it again.
I have spoke it, and I did it.
He was a prince!
A most incivil one. The wrongs he did me were nothing prince-like. For he did provoke me with language that would make me spurn the sea if it could so roar to me. I cut off his head, and I'm right glad he is not standing here to tell this tale of mine.
I'm sorry for thee. By thine own tongue thou art condemned and must endure our law. Bind the offender and take him from our presence.
Stay, Sir King. This man is better than the man he slew, as well descended as thyself, and hath more of thee merited than a band of Clotten's head ever scar for. Let his arms alone. They were not born for bondage.
Why, old soldier, wilt thou undo the worth thou art unpaid for by tasting of our wrath? How of descent as good as we?
In that he spake too far.
And thou shalt die for it.
We will die all three. But I will prove that two on us are as good as I have given out him.
My boys, I must for mine own part unfold a dangerous speech, though happily well for you.
Your danger's ours.
And our good his.
I'll add it then by leave. Thou hadst, great king, a subject who was called Valerius.
What of him? He is a banished traitor.
He it is that hath assumed this age. Indeed, a banished man. I know not how a traitor.
Take him hence! The whole world shall not save him!
Not too hot! First pay me for the nursing of thy sons. And let it be confiscate all so soon as I have received it.
That's my son. I am too blunt and saucy. Here's my knee. Ere I arise, I will prefer my sons. Then spare not the old father. Mighty sir, these two young gentlemen who call me father and think they are my sons, are not of mine. They are the issue of your loins, my liege, and blood of your begetting.
My issue?
So sure as you your fathers, I, old Morgan, am that Valerius whom you sometime banished. These gentle princes, for such and so they are, these 20 years have I trained up. Those arts they have, as I could put into them. My breeding was, sir, as your highness knows. Their nurse, Eurypyle, before the theft I wed, stole these children upon my banishment. I moved her to it, having received the punishment before for that which I did then. Beaten for loyalty, excited me to treason. Their dear loss, the more of you 'twas felt, the more it shaped unto my end. But, gracious sir, here are your sons again, and I must lose the sweetest companions in the world. The benediction of these covering heavens fall on their heads like dew. For they are worthy to inlay heaven with stars.
Thou speakst.
The service that you three have done is more unlike than this that tells them. I lost my children. If these be they, I know not how to wish a pair of worthier sons.
Be pleased a while. This gentleman, whom I call Polydor, most worthy prince, as yours is true, Guiderius. This gentleman, my Cadwal, Arviragus, your younger princely son, he, sir, was lapped in a most curious mantle, wrought by the hand of his queen mother, which, for more probation, I can with ease produce.
Guiderius had upon his neck a mole, a sanguine star. It was a mark of wonder.
This is he who hath upon him still that natural stamp. It was wise nature's end in the donation to be his evidence now.
What am I? A mother to the birth of three? Ah, mother, rejoice deliverance more. Blessed, pray you be, that after this strange starting from your orbs, you may reign in them now. Oh, Imogen, thou hast lost by this a kingdom.
No, my lord. I've got two worlds by it. Oh, my gentle brothers, we thus met. Never say hereafter, but I am true speaker. You called me brother when I was but your sister. Are you brothers when you were so indeed?
Did you ever meet?
Aye, my good lord.
And at first meeting, love.
Oh, rare instinct. See, Posthumus anchors upon him and she, like harmless lightning, throws her eye on him, brothers, me, Buster, hitting each object with joy. Let's quit this ground and smoke the temple with our sacrifices. And my brother, so we hold thee ever.
My good master, I will yet do you service.
Happy be you. The forlorn soldier who so nobly fought, he would have well become this place and graced the thankings of the king.
I am, sir, the soldier that did company these three in poor Basile. It was a fitman for the purpose I then followed. That I was, he speak, Iachimo. I had you down and might have made you finish.
I am down again. But now my heavy conscience sinks my knee as then your force did. Take that life. Beseech you, which I so often owe. First, take back your ring. And hear the bracelet of the truest princess that ever swore her faith.
Kneel not to me. The power I have on you is to spare you. The malice towards you, to forgive you. Live and deal with others better.
Nobly doomed. You'll learn our freeness of a son-in-law. Pardon's the word to all.
You help us, sir, as you did mean indeed to be our brother. Joyed are we that you are.
Your servant, princess. Good my lord of Rome, call forth your soothsayer. As I slept, methought great Jupiter upon his eagle backed appeared to me, with other sprightly shows of my own kindred. When I waked, I found this label on my bosom, whose containing is so from sense in hardness that I can make no collection of it. Let her show her skill in the construction.
Read and declare the meaning.
When is a lion's whelp shall to himself unknown without seeking find and be embraced by a piece of tender air? And when from a stately cedar shall be locked branches, which being dead many years shall after revive, be jointed to the old stock and freshly grow, then shall Posthumus end his miseries,
Britain be fortunate in flourishing peace and plenty. Thou, Leonautus, art the lion's whelp, the fit and apt construction of thy name, being Leonautus, doth import so much. The peace of tender air, thy virtuous daughter, whom we call Molisere, and Molisere we term it Mulia, which Mulia, I divine, is this most constant wife, who even now, answering the letter of the oracle, unknown to you, unsought, were clipped about with this most tender air.
Is that some seeming?
The lofty cedar royal, Cymbeline, personates thee, and thy lopped branches points thy two sons forth, whom by Valerius stolen, for many years thought dead, and now revived, to the majestic cedar joined, whose issue promises Britain peace and plenty.
By peace, we will begin. And Caius Lucius, although the victor, we submit to Caesar and to the Roman Empire, promising to pay our wanted tribute, from the which we were dissuaded by our wicked queen. Heaven's injustice, both on her and hers, have laid most heavy hand.
The fingers of the powers above do tune the harmony of this peace. The vision which I made known to Lucius, ere the stroke of yet this scarce cold battle, at this instant is full accomplished. For the Roman eagle, from south to west, on wings soaring aloft, lessened herself, and in the beams of the sun, so vanished, which foreshowed our princely eagle, the imperial Caesar, should again unite his favor with the radiant Cymbeline, who shines here in the west.
Lord, we the gods, let our crooked smokes climb to their nostrils from our blessed altars.